Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today's message is taken from our epistle reading from Romans chapter 13, with an emphasis on these words. St. Paul writes, "Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law." This is our text, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. Friends, as we enter the end of this summer and the end of our examination of St. Paul's letter to the Romans, you might begin to think that I'm starting to sound like kind of a broken record in my preaching, and I suppose I am. Since our lectionary entered the post-Pentecost season, much of our time together in the Word lately has been principally devoted to the topic of vocation, how we use the place in life in which God has stationed us, now say it with me if you know it by heart, to help and serve our neighbor. Certainly, the old Adam in each of us hears this language, repeated as it is in various forms and texts throughout St. Paul's seminal epistle, and he begins to bristle at this charge. He begins to try to add certain qualifications to the apostle's words. When do we get to the part about what I might expect in exchange for all of my service? Old Adam says. Certainly there must be a limit on how much I am expected to serve my neighbor, old Adam says. Define who exactly my neighbor is, old Adam says. As such, allow me today to address the old Adam in each of us, who is so loath to hear just one more sermon about right Christian living. We won't, there's not, and everyone is your neighbor, even those neighbors that you don't particularly get along with. The law of the land, so to speak, for the Christian, is not a love, not a law of self-service and self-promotion. Rather, it is a law of love, as we just heard from the Apostle Paul. In his infinite mercy, God has chosen to show love to us, not in mighty acts and authoritative decrees, but rather in meekness and humility, through the suffering and death of his only begotten Son. Now, the barest expression of love which God ever showed was that of Christ giving up his life on the cross for the sins of all mankind. And it is precisely for this reason that the old Adam begins to chafe under the readings from Romans. To see Christ crucified is to be confronted with an altogether different mode of loving than that which the world perpetuates. For a worldly kind of loving is one which, in essence, is centered on one's self. For this reason, we define love by the grand sweeping gestures. We define love by our own personal feelings and our worthiness to be loved. It is though we are saying to the world and to those around us, "See all of these great things I do. See how I ought to be loved." And yet, the love which was demonstrated on Calvary is a love for the unloved and the unlovable. It is a love given freely for one's enemies and betrayers and persecutors. It is a love shown for those who did not reciprocate. And it is precisely this kind of love which Paul calls the fulfillment of the law. We despise this Christ-like manner of love because we are in our nature bound to old Adam, who is obsessed not with humility, but with greatness. We want to make ourselves great. We want others to see our greatness. And so we do not do God's law. We do not help and serve our neighbor. And we do not love in the way in which we are called to love. We give ourselves over to pride and to egotism, and we sacrifice at the altar of nationalism, and in so doing, we humiliate and we degrade each other because of politics and fear. We seek after self-serving policies, and we play the martyr when we are called to consider the interest of others. We do not submit to authorities, but we mock them and deride them. We do not seek to build up, but rather to tear down. We seek the destruction of those whose worldviews are different from our own, those to whom we have been called to minister and to model the example of Christ towards. You might notice that I'm not exactly speaking in very generic terms here. These are our sins. These are sins which happen in the church. And so I say to you today that we stand reprobate. We have sought after worldly comfort and security, and we have not loved the law of God. You might think it somewhat two-faced of me to point out the sins, to not point out the sins of those outside the church, those who seek after our destruction, those who want to legislate what the church can and cannot say, those who want to tax us, regulate us, or even silence us. But friends, what do the Scriptures say? Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, "You have heard that it was said, 'An eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth.' But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. You have heard it said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies, and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For as he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others?" Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, love the unlovable, and so fulfill God's law. I tell you now, from experience, you will not do this perfectly, for none of us can. We will always turn away from God's law, and we will always need to repent. But this fact is not a license to sin boldly, to do the opposite of what Christ commanded because it is difficult, or because our neighbor struck first. When Jesus gave the Sermon on the Mount, he did so well aware that those he ministered to would not be able to follow his words to their satisfaction. And so, Jesus did the unthinkable. Christ went to the cross to fulfill what he spoke of in Matthew chapter 5. He submitted himself to death under corrupt Roman and Jewish authorities. He did not pray for the destruction of his killers, but he prayed for their forgiveness. And so, the Christ fulfilled the law. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I say these things to you today because, if I may speak frankly, in the coming months, you are about to hear the exact opposite of what Christ has taught, proclaimed to you from every pulpit, podium, and news desk in our nation. You are going to hear calls for bitter division. No matter where your politics lie, you are going to be presented with a clear and present other, an enemy of the people, who it is supposedly your duty to destroy. You will be told that the only security in our world is going to be found in temporal authorities, the princes and rulers of this world who whisper sweet nothings into your ears. But I tell you today, these are nothing more than destructive lies, whispered by the tempter to stop you at all costs from leaning on the love of Christ Jesus and from following him. I say to you now that we are not divided, but we are united in one baptism into one living Savior. I say to you now that your unbelieving neighbor, even that one who persecutes you, is not your foe to be vanquished. He is a lost soul to be prayed for and to be ministered to. I say to you now that our leaders, be they Republican or Democrat, liberal or conservative, were placed over us according to the plan and purpose of Almighty God. And so they are to be lifted up in service to the common good and corrected in all humility, civility, and patience when they seek instead to do their own personal good. When St. Paul calls out from his epistle to the Romans to submit to authority and to love your neighbor as yourself, he does so to the end that we understand the love that Christ poured out for us freely from Calvary's cross. He does so in order that, calling this blessed image to your heart and to your mind, you would live in like service to those around you. Let it be repeated each and every day in your thoughts, words, and deeds. The law of this land, that is, this kingdom of God, has prepared for us. It is a law of love, a law fulfilled perfectly for us by Jesus Christ, a law to which we are now bound not to save ourselves, for that has already been done, but instead to save our neighbor from all these manners of worldliness which lead us to death. Accordingly, as our time together in Romans draws to a close, let us revisit this exhortation from last week's epistle reading. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Dear friends, may you have no higher good than that of Christ and Him crucified. In His good name, amen. May the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in the same Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.